fight the trends, you know? It's like, this is what we are. If you love us, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. This is what we do. Either take us for what we are or go flip burgers.
Most albums have 10 songs on a record. We have 12 on this record.
13.
13?
That's right.
We do?
We didn't say we could count, but...
Now, one of the names that we were contemplating using was the Parisian Gentleman.
What do you want? You can't have me. Well, maybe just tonight. No, no, I can't. No. No way!
Hey, you're listening to Rock and or Roll. I'm BJ, and back again with another Worst Of episode with Brian Sword from the Double Stop. Hey, Brian.
Hey, BJ.
And this is one that I know you've been wanting to do for a while, just so you can pick Heartless Heart and piss me off. The Worst Of Dokken, which is one of your favorite bands, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's, well, I'm just a huge George Lynch fan.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, yes, these are some classic albums, and but for me, it's like I put, you know, George Lynch in my top three for sure. So I know this material well, and I know that this one we're going to have some strong disagreements on. You know, we've done these things, and it's really easy to do this when you like a band, but you don't love them. But when you really like a band, your feelings get a little stronger. And this is the first time for me that I've really, really, really loved it. Ozzy was probably the closest, so this should be an interesting one.
Yeah, this is one where I could pretty much make my list without even looking at the track listings, you know, or
absolutely,
at least pick like six or seven and then figure it out from there. But yeah, I know these albums backwards and forwards. This was besides Kiss, when I was a teenager, Dokken were my favorite band, besides Kiss. And you know, still love them, love these albums. You said we should disqualify Breaking the Chains because your whole list would have been from that. I think I only had two songs from Breaking the Chains on my list.
Yeah. It's just, for these lists to work, you have to choose from the best, most popular material.
Yeah.
If there's one kind of, you know, yeah, we could have done this and included Shadow Life, and it would have been, there's no drama there because everybody knows what songs are going to come from. I think by focusing on three key albums plus, you know, the studio material and the live album, we can, you know, include that as well. By focusing on the classic era stuff, then it's not so obvious what the choices are going to be.
Now, Dokken are like the redheaded stepchild of 80s heavy metal, aren't they? Like, they, it seems like a lot of people are very dismissive of, I mean, I did a whole episode with Greg Renoff about Dokken a while, you know, a few years ago, where we talked about this, but I know that Dokken were one of the bands that a lot of people I knew just could never take seriously for some reason. I don't really know what it was, what the reason was behind that. I think Don Dokken himself had a lot to do with it.
I think so too.
He never really did himself any favors, like in public, you know?
Well, so he's got a very distinct voice that really, his style was, you know, so 80s.
Yeah.
In his delivery. And also, he was kind of a goofy dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was not Steven Tyler up there just, you know, commanding the audience. He was kind of a goofball. You know, to be honest.
Right.
Like, for me, being a Dokken fan, it was never because of Don Dokken. And when they split up, I was firmly in the George Lynch camp, you know, following his career, and really did not give a shit when Don Dokken released a solo album.
Oh, I bought it the day it came out. I saw that tour, too. I actually saw Don Dokken and then Lynch Mob probably within like a month or two of each other at on the same stage. And those were some of the earliest concerts I ever went to. I didn't go to my first concert till 89. And Dokken was already done by then.
Yeah,
so
right.
So I missed out on even seeing them. But we went to both of those.
Who was better?
Probably Lynch Mob. But I liked, I'm a way bigger fan of Wicked Sensation than Up From the Ashes now. But at that time, I loved them both, you know?
Right.
I know I was really into Up From the Ashes when it came out. But it doesn't hold up the way Wicked Sensation does. That's for sure.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, seeing... Well, you don't know at the time that you're seeing Lynch Mob with Oney Logan and that it's like, you know, it's a significant, you know, it was a big deal, but you don't know that at the time. But yeah, I'm
yeah,
looking
and was
back
Oney Logan any good that night?
Yeah, from what I remember.
Because he had off nights and good nights.
Yeah. And plus you had Mick Brown with it. So, you know, Don Dokken comes out with, you know, this line of guys across the front of the stage that was like almost overkill. And, you know, they all looked, the Don Dokken band had that look you know, Lynch Mob looked way cooler than Don Dawkins right. did. It was unfortunate that they broke up, but God, you know, picturing Don Dokken and George Lynch with those two personalities that are just like polar opposites and both probably difficult to get along with. And then,
yeah,
I mean, wow, that's like, I mean, that's like an explosive mixture. That's like two chemicals that when you put them in a bucket, it's going to fucking blow up, right? That's what you got with those two totally. Guys. I don't know how they lasted as long as they did, really. So,
and you look at, you know, how that band even started
yeah.
with Don Dokken taking George Lynch's demos and going to Germany and getting a record deal with them. It's like, how is any band supposed to be okay after that? If that's how it starts, you get a call. Well, I use your songs and got a record label. So you might as well a record deal. You might as well join me in a band. It's like, yeah, that's going to go well. You know, it is a miracle they lasted that long.
Yeah. And you must remember well, the fiasco of my George Lynch interview where the recording was for shit and I couldn't use it. And, yeah, he told that story, and he also, one really interesting thing he told me was that they were on tour with some band, he couldn't remember what band, in Germany, and Don Dokken stole the song Felony from that band. This was what George Lynch claimed, but he couldn't remember the band. And he told me some other insane story about Don Dokken claiming that he missed rehearsal because he was kidnapped and they were going to hold him for ransom.
He's had so many stories, though, through the years, you know, albums where like accidentally erased the drives and stuff. It's like, come on, you do backups.
It was hilarious. What happened was this guy who made a documentary with him had listened to my show, and he emailed me and he was like, I could get George Lynch for you if you want him. And then when I actually talked to George Lynch, like pre-interview, he's like, yeah, I thought we could talk for like 20 minutes about my new album. And I'm just like, that has nothing to do with what my podcast is. I don't want to do that. But of course, when I got him on the phone, we talked for 40 minutes and it was all about old Doc and shit. So,
yeah. Yeah, I've not had him on my show, and I've always been hesitant for that very reason, is that I know he likes to do 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when my interviews get good, when I get people for 3 hours, you know, that's when the good stuff happens. 20 minutes is really hard.
And he's not a real introspective guy, and you don't know what to believe of what he's telling you, and you don't know what his motivations are if he starts talking shit. And yeah, I don't think you would really get any kind of a normal Brian Sword interview out of him, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to have a lot of patience with talking about his past or his previous work.
No, he definitely seems to be always looking forward, you know, and he's always releasing a lot of material.
But yeah, amazing guitar player and amazing riffs, you know, such great tone, like Back for the Attack, so amazing. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I was in a bit of a tough spot with this list because my worst song, the song I despise, and there's really only one. We've had conversations about it. You know damn well what song I hate the most. So there's no surprise if I list at number one. So I put it at number five just to get out of the way, even though it really is kind of my number one. But yes, Heartless Heart it's an embarrassingly bad lyric. Like, you got a heartless heart, you got a heart of stone. It's so terrible. Are you kidding me? Like, Poison would have been ashamed to have a song like this. And the riff in this song, like Lynch could have written this in like 10 seconds. Like this band knew this song was shit and they included it on the album anyway because they couldn't be bothered to write one more song. This song should not exist. It's absolutely terrible.
Well, as you know, I love that song because I love the melody.
Oh, dude.
I love it, but yeah, I don't care about the lyrics. That's not going to decide whether or not I like it. So,
but there's no riff. It's just, there's nothing there.
No, I love the melody. I just like it. It's a great pop song. But yeah, it's not much of a...
You're losing all credibility here, buddy.
What it is, it's the interplay of the vocal melody and the guitar riff, if you want to call it that. I love that song.
Every night it's the same old
I still remember when my mom used to, I mean, I've already told this story in the show, but I used to go, my mom used to drag us almost every Sunday to my grandma's house, and my uncle still lived with my grandma, and that's when I would listen to his music. But there was one Sunday where I didn't go with my mom. I didn't go out to my grandma's house, but it must have been after I saw In My Dreams on MTV, because that was my intro to Doc and was In My Dreams. And so I called there and I was like, does Uncle Bobby have Dokken? And he did. And my mom brought the tape home with her that had Tooth and Nail on one side and Under Lock and Key on the other. And I still remember, you know, that inlay card that my uncle had written songs in pen. And I remember that was back when I still shared a room with my brother and had just a boombox. I remember everything about it, and listening to Tooth and Nail for the first time, you know, and loving it so much. I mean, it goes way, way back for me. So,
yeah, it was my cousin who got me into Dokken. So there you go.
Right. Well, but speaking of Tooth and Nail, my number five is Alone Again.
Whoa.
Thank you. I've never liked this song at all.
Oh, wow. You just tossed a grenade in here. It's like their most popular song ever.
To me, it's a very intentional, purposeful ballad, just written on purpose to be a ballad. You know, like, no inspiration at all. Oh, I seriously. Don was not good at writing ballads. He kept trying, and he's not good at it. He's good songwriter, but not ballads. Melody doesn't grab me at all.
Oh, well, that's just insanity.
I never enjoyed the song. You'll probably think this is insanity, too, but this song goes with, like, Still Loving You and Save Your Love by Great White. Just ballads from that era that were always on the radio that I never liked and heard way too many times and never liked in the
Blasphemy.
First place.
Blasphemy. Heartless Heart is a piece of shit. And you're choosing Alone Again?
I don't like it. I just don't like it.
All right. The guitar playing alone, my goodness. All right. Now, that does hit upon something that is probably my biggest pet peeve with Dokken, is Don Dokken's lyrics when he doesn't write all the songs, but all of his songs, he's always a victim. Why'd you make me leave you? It's never his fault. You know, it's just, it gets really, really old. And those songs often get into like the ones I hate. I kind of go there, you know, so there's, and it's like half the album, half of every album, because the songs that he would write are pure victim. So my number four, I'm going to choose from Under Lock and Key, Slipping Away. I just find it sappy and lame. And yeah, I don't know what else to say about the song, but it's always been a skipper for me.
Yeah, that one's coming up on my list.
So, is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, at least we agree on something.
Yeah. Well, my number four is the worst song of Back for the Attack. I love Back for the Attack, but Sleepless Night is just obvious filler, just generic verse and a lame chorus. I'm not into like the groove on the chorus. I just don't think it works very well. And it's such filler, you know, it's just like the definition of filler. And is it the last song? Well, before Dream Police or Dream Warriors, Dream Police. Oh man, it's just not good. I love that record though.
I love that record. I love the guitar tone.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like I still think like his best guitar tone is Under Lock and Key, but there's something about the aggressiveness of this one where he took that up a notch that I really, really like.
Oh yeah, agreed.
All right. Well, my number three, further on Don Dokken playing a victim in all the songs, is the song Sleepless Night. Yeah, I absolutely, yeah. This one, on an album that long, there was no need for the song to be on it. And, you know, I do love harmony vocals, and Dokken always had lots of really good harmonies, but the harmonies in this song are really lame.
Yeah.
Like, there's some really cheesy harmonies. So, Lynch can't save this. There's some good Lynch playing in the song, but no.
Yeah, and like you said, it's especially problematic when you have filler on an album with 13 songs. Well, then
exactly.
Just have 10 songs,
exist.
Assholes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I love that album, but I do believe it would be better if it was 10 songs.
Yeah, and it's got to be no accident that the worst songs are at the end. Cry of the Gypsy and Sleepless Night are probably the worst, and then they tack on Dream Warriors, which had already come out. So if it had just been a 10-song album, it would have been, like, perfect, you know? But, yeah.
And it came out as a single, so it made sense for it to go on an album. I still think that song should have been on the album. But even if it was 11 songs, but still, a couple of those at the end surely could have been removed.
Yeah.
Morning, stay in bed today.
All right, my number three is from Tooth and Nail, and it's a parody of itself. If you were going to write a parody of an 80s metal song, it would go, I've got bullets.
I knew it.
Bullets.
I knew you were going to choose this song.
It's
on my short list.
It's just by numbers. It's so obvious. Like, I got bullets. Bullets. Bullets.
Oh, you know, yeah, the gang vocals.
It's really paint by numbers, like so formulaic. And it's really like if you were going to have like a Ruddles version of a metal band, this would be a perfect song for that. Like, well, you know, like Bad News, you know, that the guys from the Young Ones, they had a fake metal band called Bad News, but they were more making fun. They were more doing like Motorhead than like a Dokken type thing. But yeah, this is just really like laughably just generic and, you know, Bullets to Spare.
Well, that's so funny because I knew exactly where you were going with that song, because that's also it didn't make it to the top five. I have three songs that didn't quite made it. I had it down to eight, then I whittled it down to five, and Bullets to Spare was on it. It just didn't quite crack the top five.
Right. It's not horrible. I would listen to it and enjoy it, but it's just so, you know, it's so obvious. It's so easy to make fun of, you know.
The smoke is clear. Another notch in my gun.
My number two, it's funny because you just mentioned it about how it's one of the shitty songs on the album, is Cry of the Gypsy.
Yeah.
It kind of, yeah, because that to me, I don't really mind the music. I think it's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the vocals and the chorus is so lame, and the gang vocals, and it's just, it destroys it. I can't give this song a pass, even though musically it's fine. But man, those lyrics, oof, pretty terrible.
Yeah, that was for sure on the short list. It's a total throwaway song.
Yeah, like it shouldn't be on the album.
It's so funny that those last two songs are just such obvious filler, and they're at the end of the record like that. Well, my number two is Slipping Away that you already had on your list. And this is Slipping Away is a, we need a ballad for the album. I guess we better write one. That's exactly what it's like insulting because it's so forced. And then it's out of place on the record. It's so annoying that it's even there. It pisses me off because that's such a great album. And then this song is just 100% shit. We need Alone Again on here, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I hate that because I'm not just picking a ballad because I don't like ballads, because there's plenty of ballads I love. But when you write a ballad when your record's probably already almost done and you write a ballad in 10 minutes so you can put it out, I mean, that's just insulting to everyone. So especially on that record, it's just like, fuck off with this song, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel too.
Yeah.
Like a whisper, you came in the night. Gone forever, seems you were right. Long ago, thought it was real. Should have believed.
Okay, so I'm into my number one. Now, can I rattle off the other three that I had as my short law? We had no bullets to spare. I had two other ones. Can I rattle those off?
Or
would that be? All right, so the ones that were in consideration besides Bullet to Spare were Jaded Heart from Under Lock and Key, and Don't Lie to Me for Under Lock and Key. And Don't Lie to Me was really hard to leave off my list because, again, Don Dokken being a victim, it's just like, oh, man, this is terrible. So if I could have had six, Don't Lie to Me would have made it onto the list because oof, that song's shit.
Okay, I love Don't Lie to Me. I love that song, but Jaded Heart was my number six.
Well, there you go.
Because that song is just so flat. It's just like Jaded Heart. You know, it's just not. It's not great. It's really not.
So my number one song, again from Back for the Attack. Again, it's Don Dokken with this like, oh God, it's so pathetic. So many tears.
Oh man.
What metal band, even if it's, you know, guitar metal or hair metal, whatever you want to call it, would have a song called So Many Tears? Like, seriously, like some self-respect. I think that's, again, pure filler. So for me, that album, if you knock off So Many Tears, Cry the Gypsy and Sleepless Nights, and you keep Dream Warriors on, you got a killer 10 song album.
I love So Many Tears. Is that the first song on the second side? I think. That's great. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm leaving today. Sorry's not enough.
And I fully expect you're going to do something to really piss me off. You're going to choose like Mr. Scary or something that we're going to make me want to punch you through a computer screen.
No, my number one is kind of obvious. It's that fucking Walk Away song that was the bonus track of Beast from the East.
How can you not like that song?
Oh,
but you
it's
like
horrible.
Oh,
that's the worst Dokken song.
That's a great song. And that killer
so
solo.
So bad.
Oh, the solo in that song is unbelievable.
The solo is good, but the song is horrible.
And the acoustic parts are great.
Ugh, it's so bad.
Oh, dude. So wrong.
And plus, you know.
So you like, you know, So Many Tears, but you don't like that?
I love So Many Tears, and I love Don't Lie to Me. Those are great songs. Walk Away is horrible. What? And then it was like, oh my God, there's a new Dokken song. They're going to be world premiering the video on Headbangers Ball. And then it's this fucking song. Such
yeah,
an
but
atrocity.
It did have Dawn and like
the braids.
You know, braids. Like, that's pretty sweet.
Oh, it was so embarrassing. It added cool. insult to injury, the braids. And like
so
I said,
lame.
Like I said, Dawn was not good at writing ballads. They don't have melody. They're fucking flat. They're not. Ugh.
Oh,
he was not good
not
at
fair.
Ballads.
I can't say it. You chose that and Alone Again, which are two of the great ballads of that era.
Even Heaven Sent isn't that great. He's not good at ballads. He's just not good at ballads, I don't think.
Thank you.
Well, I hope your listeners that chime in if you have any Dawkin fans and, you know, tell you that you're full of shit.
Nobody out there likes Walk Away. Who the hell could like this? What the fuck? That was the new song on the live album? They gave us one new song.
That album, they were done by the time that album came out. That's a leftover track from the earlier sessions. The rest of the band wouldn't allow him to put a ballad on it. That's got to be a leftover track. There's got to be, or it was a demo that they, recorded. There's got to be tie back in because he's complained many times about how the fact that the other three guys ganged up on him and wouldn't let him put a proper ballad on Back for the Attack. So that's got to be where that song comes from.
Yeah. So then they were like, hey, we might as well. We're coming out with the live album anyways. We might as well just tack this on to the end and make a video. And who the hell knows? Maybe it'll be a hit. What the fuck? What do we have to lose? Right. So.
Well, the video is okay. It's kind of funny because you almost never see the band together. I don't even know if you do see them together. Because they're all hated each other. Or at least they all hated him. And, but those braids, you're just like, okay, you have no credibility right now with those. None at all.
Well, I don't know. There's a pretty... And Don Dawkins' hair has an interesting saga. I was watching a video today. I was watching a video today that was him and Jeff Pilson. And it was must have been right before he started wearing a wig. And you could see how bald he was and how he had it combed forward. And it was not looking good. It was not looking good, so it must not have been long after that he started wearing the wig. Because
I saw, some pictures of him and George Lynch because they just did an interview together. And I don't think he's wearing the wig anymore because his hairline was about halfway back on his head and he had bleached his hair again. So it didn't even look like him because he's, put on a bunch of weight and he bleached his hair. It's like I probably could have walked past him in the street and not known it was him.
I gotta go check that out because I was watching some stuff today where he had a variety of different wigs on. It's like there was one that was short hair with bangs, like when your hairline is an inch above your eyebrows.
Right? Yeah.
Remember that wig?
That was in the mid-90s, I think.
Remember that one that Kevin DeBro had on in Behind the Music? I think it was. All of a sudden.
Oh man.
All of a sudden they.
Yeah, because he was like. You could see he was losing his hair at their peak in Metal Health.
Oh, yeah.
And then, when they reunited, suddenly he's got this huge head of hair. It's like, you couldn't have, been a little more subtle about it. He was pretty bold because there's no way that you wouldn't know.
I remember there was one time where they showed Bret Michaels on Rock of Love without the bandana. I just said, dude, he had this ridiculous wig on. It was so bad.
Yeah. Just shave your head, dude. It's all good.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for me to talk since I'm not bald, It's easier to talk when you don't have the issue that these guys have. I mean, I feel for them, but, yeah. All right, so I guess that's the worst of Dokken, the classic lineup. Right. Well, you could argue that Break in the Chains was originally a Don Dokken, released as a Don Dokken album, I guess.
That's true.
So... Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I didn't even know that album existed. You know, back before you had the internet and stuff. I remember that I had that Tooth and Nail Under Lock and Key tape from my uncle. I didn't even know there was another album. And then I still remember my friend Paul called me up. He's like, I found another Dokken album at Kmart. And all of a sudden it was like, holy shit, there's another one. Yeah, that was exciting. But
yeah, I don't mind the album. It's just so different. But the second one was Tooth and Nail was just so different from it. There was such an evolution that it doesn't really seem to compare.
I have so many memories with Dokken because just recently Julian Gill put a link. He was selling some stuff on eBay and I clicked on it and he was selling a still sealed cassette of Back for the Attack. And when I saw the hype sticker, it brought back. It brought it right back to me, seeing that sticker because and remembering buying that tape. And yeah, it was really interesting to see that sticker and just remember it so clearly. It was cool.
Yeah, I've bought those albums a few times,
I remember.
I think my first ones were tapes like yourself of copied off people.
Yeah.
And then I bought CDs and then, I became kind of one of those vinyl douches. So then I bought them all on vinyl again and
I had the Dream Warriors cassette single, and now I have the 12-inch vinyl single of that.
Oh, sweet.
But
I'd like that. I don't have that.
I probably told the story on my Dokken episode, but I still remember buying Back for the Attack. I remember exact. I remember we were on our way to my Uncle Jim's house, and we stopped at the mall, and I bought it at Tape World, and then I had my Walkman, and I sat there at my uncle's house and listened to it for the first time, and I still remember all of that, you know, because it was such a huge deal, and then I loved it so much too. So because that was my only new Dokken album, you know, because by the time I got into them, Under Lock and Key was already out. So,
well, I remember getting a Metal Edge magazine and being super excited because there's going to be a Dokken live album. And in that same issue that was announced, there's an ad in it or something. There's an interview with Don Dawkins seeing the bands breaking up.
Yeah.
I was like, yay, live album. And they broke up. Crap.
Yeah. There was still a poster hanging at my parents' house in my old room. I don't know if it's still there, but it was hanging there for at least 20 years. It was from Hit Parader, and it was the whole band, but written on it in white, it said Don Dokken, and I had taken a Sharpie and filled in the letters on Don so that it only said Dokken.
Awesome.
Because for some reason they had Don Dokken written on this poster that was the band. And that was on the back of my bedroom door, and it was. I remember I would go back there and be like, "That is still hanging there," because my mom was using that room, like she had her salt and pepper shaker collection and whatever in there, and it still had the Dokken poster hanging on the back of the door where I colored in the Don.
Amazing.
Yeah,
George Lynch would have liked hearing that story.
Yeah, I was so mad. I was like, "Why is this say? Why does this say Don?"
You're offended by it.
Yeah. All right. So that's the worst of Dokken. Thanks again for coming up with this idea in the first place of doing these worst of episodes. I don't know how many people were interested in hearing us babble about the such specific Dokken songs, but hopefully people enjoy these worst of episodes. It's just a different take.
Conversation. What? I'll be back.